Chapter 7. Once inside Nan's condo, the ladies burst into action. Helen dragged the old stainless steel percolator out from one of the kitchen cabinets and got coffee going. The pot heated quickly, and soon the smell of dark roast hung in the air, and the pop, pop, pop of the percolator made background noise. Nan's and Ruth pulled an oversized whiteboard on wheels out from the spare room into the dining room. Ida rummaged through Nan's fridge, bent at the waist to inspect the contents of the shelves up close. "Hey, Mona, don't you have any leftover pastries?" She shot a look at Lexi over her shoulder as if beaming disapproval that Lexi hadn't thought to bring them a fresh batch when she rushed over. "In the cheese drawer," Nan said without looking away from the whiteboard, where she was making columns for suspects and clues. The dry erase marker squeaked along as she drew the lines, and Lexi caught a whiff of stale alcohol from the marker. "We don't have much to go on," Ida said as she set an etched glass platter filled with cookies on Nan's mahogany table. She took a seat, a cookie on a dessert plate in front of her, and dug in. "We know someone was after something in Ruth's car," Nan said, "and that the victim just got out of jail, so there's a criminal element involved," Helen added. "And then we need to get to Stan's and see if he has any clues." Ruth pulled her phone out. "I'll call him." Stan said they could swing by in 20 minutes, and all faces turned toward Lexi. A twinge of guilt pierced her stomach. She'd already spent too much time away from the bakery, and she'd promised Jack she'd mind her own business. "Sorry, I have to return Cassie's car before she reports it's stolen," Lexi said. "Not to mention I have a business to run."
"But what about going to Stan's?" Nance asked, following her out of the dining room and toward the door. "Can't you give us a ride?"
"I'm sorry," Lexi said, bending to kiss her grandmother's cheek. "I can't."
"Oh, well, wait a minute then."
She rushed back into the dining room and returned moments later with her phone in hand. Nan squinted over the tops of her glasses at the screen as she fumbled with typing in a text. "Who are you messaging?" Lexi asked.
"Our new favorite Uber driver, Myra Stoddard."
Nan moved her face closer to the phone.
"Darn, I have to start over." "Let me see that."
Ida grabbed the phone.
"I'm a whiz at texting. Comes from being a cryptologist in my younger days. I can even do it without looking."
As if to prove her point, she closed her eyes, thumbed in the text, then turned the phone around to show them the perfectly worded text.
"See?"
So much for thinking the ladies could be slowed down. When they had something to investigate, nothing stopped them. Lexi sighed. "I'm really sorry I can't take you ladies to Snoop, but I had to borrow Cassie's car to get here, and we're swamped at the bakery, so I really should get back soon, and I promised Jack I wouldn't..."
"Nonsense, dear," Nan said, glancing up at her. "It's no problem whatsoever. I just need to finish..."
She tapped the screen a few more times, then smiled.
"Done. I sent a message off to Myra about giving us a ride to Stan's place. Now we just have to wait and see when she can pick us up."
Her phone buzzed with an incoming response almost immediately.
Well, that didn't take long at all.
She turned to call into the dining room.
"Myra said she'd be happy to take us, ladies. We just need to walk down to her and Joe's place."
Then she turned back to Lexi.
"She's always looking to give people rides."
Apparently, with this new Uber thing, the ladies didn't need her anymore. Lexi should have been glad. Nance and her friends often depended on Lexi to drive them, but now they were more independent. But instead of feeling glad, Lexi felt empty. Even though she usually ended up in trouble, she liked being a part of Nance and the ladies' investigations. Helen unplugged the percolator. The ladies collected their giant patent leather purses, and they all exited Nan's condo and headed back down to the lobby. "When did you start texting, Nan's?"
Lexi asked her grandmother. Since I got this new smartphone, I like it so far, but I'm not very good at the messaging part yet. That darned keypad is just so small, makes it hard to see what I'm typing. Lexi walked with them out of the building and into the parking lot. Myra and Joe live in a detached, nice place, Ruth said as she veered to the west side of the parking lot where the detached condos were. My car is near that side. I'll walk with you. As they neared the corner, Lexi stopped, grabbing Nan's arm to gain her attention. The other ladies halted as well. Up ahead, two men were arguing on the sidewalk in front of the entrance to one of the condos. Who are they? That one is Joe Stoddard, Ruth said. That's their place. What about the other? Nan's asked. I don't recognize him. They ducked behind a row of shrubbery and strained to catch snippets of the men's conversation.
Stealing my coins, the angry guy said.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Joe Stoddard said, his tone confused.
No, switching them,
the angry man yelled at Joe.
No.
Lexi glanced over to see Nans and the others all watching the argument as well through the leaves on the bushes. They all exchanged quizzical looks, then snuck around the corner to hide behind a couple of brick pillars, the better to eavesdrop unseen from.
These aren't the cufflinks I ordered,
the angry man continued, taking a step closer to Joe and shoving his shirt sleeve into his face.
You switched the coins on me.
I didn't, I swear,
Joe said, moving back, his expression startled and his tone frazzled.
No switches.
Why are you lying to me, Joe? The coins I gave you were valuable.
I don't know anything about coin values. I just like to make jewelry out of them. That's it.
Joe's face was flushed and he seemed to be favoring his left side, the one where he'd had his hernia surgery, Lexi supposed.
Look, I'm sorry the cufflinks didn't turn out as you'd expected. I had surgery a few weeks ago, and I'm on pain meds. Maybe they caused me to mess something up.
That's no excuse, the angry man snarled. You're nothing but a liar and a cheat, using your operation as a cover for swindling people.
I haven't swindled anyone, honest.
Joe held up his hands in surrender.
All I can do is check my inventory and see if there was some kind of mix-up, okay? My wife handles inputting all that stuff into the computer, so I'll have her look this afternoon.
Aw, poor Joe,
Helen whispered from beside Lexi.
I think he's telling the truth, and he looks scared.
There you ladies are, Myra said, coming toward them from the other side of the lot. I've been looking for you everywhere. Are you ready to go? They walked toward Myra, meeting her halfway.
Thanks for taking them where they need to go,
Lexi yelled, remembering Myra was hard of hearing. Maybe a bit too loudly, though, judging by the way Myra jumped back.
I need to get back to work.
Ladies, stop by when you're done and fill me in on what you discover.
Will do, Nan said, waving as Lexi headed across the street to her car. See you soon, dear.
Lexi watched them walk away, doing her best to ignore the niggle inside of her that wanted to go with them. She had a business to run and an agreement with her husband to keep. Now wasn't the time to go running off on a wild goose chase to the storage facility, no matter how intriguing it might sound.